on 1116 SEN. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Holden, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family, and Flex Vehicle Management Service from 67 cents a day. Visit flexvs.com.
9:07, good morning and welcome to the program. Sydney reckons it's found its man, one of the most important players a club can have. His position in this crazy day and age of football, the swingman. Sam Reid nearly won the game for the Swans when switched to the wing against Frio. At 6'5", he was Matthew Richardson reincarnated. Reid now has all the strings to his bow, can play forward, back and now midfield. The swingman is worth his weight in gold and wins and saves matches. Michael Hurley, Jake Carlisle both fit the mould, so does Luke Hodge, Harry Taylor and Lockie Henderson. But the best in the business at the moment is Justin Westhoff. The Port big man fills holes up forward, down back and in the ruck. He is a beauty. I'm KB. That's my take.
Got the handball out to Taylor. He presses off the tackle and squirts the kick and goal. Oh, they lead by 14, the Cats.
Gary Rowan brings it in on the intercept. Luke Hodge, thank you very much. There's another one for Hawthorn.
Stands and delivers. He was pulled off the ball. The ball floats forward. Henderson grabs it and stuffs a goal.
So got the handball wide to Westhoff. Goes for the impossible goal. And
oh,
kicks it.
Oh, he's gone.
Yes.
Oh.
The goals of the year. You know where that came out of. Oh. It rhymes with class. 29 seconds to go. He kicks it high. Carlo.
He's going to make an impact early and put a goal on the board to start the second quarter. The swingman delivers.
Yes, the swingman delivers. Who is the best swingman in the business? I think it's Justin Westhoff, and we just heard some of the best: Harry Taylor, Luke Hodge, Lockie Henderson, Ben Reid, of course, who was the swingman for the Pies, just like his brother Jake Carlisle. Hurley is one as well. Does your club have one? Does your club need one? And who's the best? 9:49, 11:16. Coming up is the buzz. He's got to answer some very, very important questions today. He's got his buzzer beater as well. But we're taking your calls on sports hottest topics, and you can always set the sporting agenda. 9:42, 9:11:16, 0433 98 11:16 if you want to send through an SMS, if you want to tweet, at KevinBartlett29 or Hungry for Sport. Also coming up today, Ian Robson, of course, the CEO of Mighty Melbourne Victory. Rowan Dummett always fixes your golf swing on radio, gives you a lesson, and Brian Waldron, the business of sport. But coming up, the buzz.
Well, I'm a king bee, baby. Want you to be my queen. Together we can make honey.
On Hungry for Sport, John Ralph.
Get on to Johnny Ralph.
That's what we always do, Jeffrey. G'day, Buzz.
Hello, Kevin. Like your take today, Sydney were good enough already. They were a premiership threat already without Sam Reid coming out of the pack. He kicked 31 goals in that premiership year, and he was just a beautiful, high-marking forward. But then rivals found out if you bodied him before he tried to leap, well, you had nothing. So all of a sudden, he's back. It's only one game, but I was excited by it. Doesn't it illustrate as well? Hanbury's flying. Isaac Heaney, before last week, he got injured. Look, he's just a jet. He's coming out of the pack. Sydney are a very good side. How many premiership threats are there? I mean, the Hawks in Sydney can win it. Port Adelaide can win it. We know that Fremantle can. Well, maybe. North Melbourne, well, they're better than last year, aren't they? With a couple of those free agency acquisitions. And Essendon, I don't know whether they can win it. They probably can't. But maybe, just maybe, if a swingman called Jake Carlisle fires up, well, maybe they can win it.
Or Hurley.
Well, Carlisle's the man for me. Look, Hurley, I just think you've got to settle him down in defence. He's had a great first month of the season. I'm not sure he's got the upside in attack. But for me, Jake Carlisle, when he takes those soaring marks with hands as big as buckets low, I think to myself, there is so much untapped potential there. So, for
me, you need a swingman to win the premiership.
Oh, if you're an absolute gun side I suppose you wouldn't say that Hawthorn's had a swingman.
Well, Luke Hodge has been their swingman. Surely goes into the midfield.
Yep.
When they want a goal, he goes up forward, and then he hangs around the half back line and defends.
Okay, so do they need to be key positions? Can you be a midfield swingman?
Because he is.
Okay, well then Sean Burgoyne is a swingman.
He's the smallest of the swingmen, isn't he?
I reckon Sean Burgoyne, he's almost the best of the midfield small position swingmen. They got a star small forward, righto. We'll just put Burgoyne into him. We've got troubles in the midfield, we throw him in there. We need a goal, like they have in finals before, a couple of prelims that he started, you put Burgoyne in. Fife's up there. I mean, could Fife play at centre-half back? What is he, probably 188?
Oh, no, he's 193. 194.
Okay, so he can probably play anywhere. So maybe
but
I'm
at
just...
the moment he's playing midfield, isn't he? And he will go forward. I don't know yet. We've seen him, you know, like a Luke Hodge or a Westhoff, you know, playing across the half back line or playing a key position down back.
Yeah, but
just
when
yet.
But when they needed a big mark,
but he can be
as Sydney were
man.
Coming last week. What did he do? He went back into defence. He took a beautiful hanger. We're lucky, aren't we? We've got a lot of players who are very versatile. We keep hearing, that's the buzzword, we're going to be versatile. And we think, what the hell does that
mean? Well, who is the best swing man in the competition? 9-4-2-9-11-16. And has your club got one? I was just thinking, I don't think the Tigers have a swing man.
Tigers haven't got a swing man? I mean, Asprey probably has the capacity to do it. I reckon they've got more concerns about...
Never been a swing man yet.
No, they've got more concerns about who their swing man should be. You were talking in the off-season about whether they should get someone in, you know, whether it's a small forward or whatever. Sticking as... Garlett put Richmond to the sword on Friday night. Why didn't they go harder at Jeff Garlett?
Don't know.
They needed someone who could kick goals. They needed someone who could put defensive pressure on the forward line. I think Melbourne got him cheap as chips. Yeah, he had some issues, but that's the issue for me. Well, Tyrone Vickery, he can play forward. He can play in the ruck. Got a big job this weekend against Geelong. He's probably going to play in a Tom Lonergan. Maybe he can be their swingman.
Off Twitter,
jury's out there.
Hungry for sport. Richmond does have a swingman. Brett Delidio can play halfback, absolutely spot on.
Yep.
Midfield and can play forward. So maybe that's the problem. No Brett Delidio at the moment, so the Tigers are struggling. So that's the Tigers' swingman. We'll try and find out who the swing person is for each club.
Well, what about Mark?
Some clubs may not actually have one.
Mark Blitzaps, great text off the SMS.
Yes.
He can play key defence. I mean, he's not...
And ruck.
He's not Alex Rance. He can play ruck. He went forward and kicked a very important goal last week against Gold Coast. He's a work in progress, like my man Jake Carlisle, but no doubt he's a great swingman.
Now, I've got to have a crack at you, Buzz.
Oh, hello.
Last week, Adelaide played the Bulldogs.
Yes.
Robert Murphy was absolutely spectacular for the Dogs. They had a lot of terrific players on the day or the night. But Robert Murphy was their spiritual leader, but he played a magnificent game across halfback. Generated the run, used the ball magnificently, operated around about, I don't know, 80, 85%. When it came to the three best players on the ground in the Herald Sun, you did not find a spot for Robert Murphy.
Normally I would attack you, Kevin, because I like attacking you, but I reckon this time I might just have to stand down. As I was walking out, so I'd done the press conference, I was in a hurry, gave my votes.
Is this an excuse, is it?
This is an it's not an excuse, no. As I was walking across the concourse, I thought to myself, I've stuffed that up. I don't know why I didn't give Murphy votes, but it was eight.
Why didn't you jump on the phone and ring back the Herald Sun and say, listen, change my vote, I made a mistake.
First edition had already gone, and so I said to myself...
Well, change it in the second edition.
No, you can't do that. You're supposed to stand in your digs. But if you want to give me the Robert Klomp, I reckon I deserve that Robert Klomp. Because as I walked out, I thought, no, I reckon I've stuffed that up. I love the fact that Lin Jong had two goals. He's a goal kicker. You like goal kicking midfielders,
yes,
don't
I
you?
Do.
And had 28 or whatever it was.
He was in the best three.
Yeah. I love the fact that Jack McRae set the ball up, used it really well, set up Stringer a couple of times.
Stringer was in the best three, and Murphy was in the best three.
Okay, so what I did was I put him fourth. I should have put Murphy maybe second. Maybe I should have pushed Lin Jong down. But no, it's a clanger. I think you need to own up to your mistakes. And
what about your other clanger?
What?
You said Freo can't win the premiership without Ryan Crowley.
I said they can't win the premiership without Ryan Crowley. But
only undefeated side at the moment.
So have they won the flag? Have they?
No, not yet.
Oh, they won the flag, right? Oh, well, give them the premiership cup. Ross Lyon's finally won that first premiership as a coach.
I don't think we've seen anything in the way that they're playing that Ryan Crowley may not even get a game.
Well, I said they couldn't win the flag because Ryan Crowley wasn't playing, and I also said they can't win the flag because they've got aging players in Pavlich and McFarland and also Sandlands. Right at the moment, McFarland's flying. Is it September yet? Because he has really struggled to get to the line in September. So, look, right at the moment, you might think I'm under the pump, but I'm prepared to back myself in. I think in September, you never know. There might be stars out there, and Rossi Lyon might be saying to himself, I'd love to throw Ryan Crowley onto that bloke. So, yeah, I'm prepared to back myself in, KB.
Colin Sylvia. Ross Lyon probably backed himself in with Colin Sylvia. He's announced his retirement yesterday. No press conference. He's just faded away. Herald Sun today is suggesting he's one of the great wasted talents in AFL football. At some stage, I can remember when he first started, there was a couple of cracking games he played.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like, I think, with Brock McLean, they were talking about those two being the two young players that were going to regenerate the Melbourne Football Club. Brock went on to have a pretty good career. Unfortunately for Colin, played quite a lot of games, about 150, 160-odd games. and never reach any great heights.
It's probably been the greatest disappointment in the last, I don't know, 20 years. The greatest disappointment in terms of talent compared to his actual output.
He could take a mark. He was explosive.
Mate, even when Fremantle acquired him in his last year at Melbourne, maybe it was because he was off contract. Maybe he was trying to sing for the dollar. He was really good at times. I remember a game there where GWS were ahead of Melbourne and we thought, look, Mark Neal's going to get sacked. And what did he do? He threw Sylvia into the midfield and he just ragdolled those young GWS players. He inspired them to a win. But I also remember the night before an Australian training session where he'd finally been picked for Australia, I mean, international rules, and him and his mate went out and got up in the booze, and either him or his mate, questions about who was driving his BMW, went off on a bit of a joyride, aquaplaned into a car dealership on King's Way. I mean, would you do that the night before you're actually going to train for Australia? So it showed that, look, he was lazy, didn't want to work hard, maybe he didn't have a tank. The greatest waste of talent in the last 20 years. I mean, you might like to give us some rivals because there's some players who have wasted some talent.
What about those who have maximised their talent as well? 9-4-2-9-11-16. Those who maybe, you know, when you look at them, maybe not super quick or super tall or maybe not athletic or maybe haven't got the talent of others but have absolutely maximised their talent and have played AFL football at the highest level and got good results.
Well, can I give you one in Jason Blake? I look at Jason Blake and I think, I don't think he's...
Oh, yeah, with the Saints.
Yeah, I don't think he's fast. I don't think he is necessarily that agile. Didn't really kick a lot of goals.
He was a swing man too.
He was a swing man. He played in the ruck, he played forward, he played back. He was the ultimate swing man. And yet he got 219 games from his, medium level of talent. And so I look at that bloke and I have so much admiration for Jason Blake. How much talent did Jason Blake have compared to Colin Sylvia? Tenth of his talent, and yet he's gone and extracted a fantastic career.
Okay.
So, who has maximised their talent?
9-4-2-9-11-16. We're coming back with your calls. You can set the sporting agenda with The Buzz. And of course, The Buzz is always brought to you by Eco Garage Doors. Now, as a special for the month of April and May, Eco Garage Doors are going to donate $200, that's right, $200, from every insulated garage door sold to your nominated sporting club or charity. Now, we all have a charity close to our hearts or a local sporting club. It's your choice, and Eco will send $200 on your behalf. So give Eco a call for a free quote on 9703-1500. That's 9703-1500. Or visit them online at www.ecogaragedoors.com.au. Bill has joined us in Bulleen. G'day, Bill.
How are you, boys? I think Lockie Hanson's not too bad. I think he's very good for North. He can go down the forward line, and he's real good in the back line. I think he's a bloke they really missed too. I think they missed him, you know, when they get play against the taller players. I think he's a really good footballer, Lockie.
Bill, you'd be pretty happy with Robbie Tarrant. I mean,
he's
scored
a swing
forward
too,
and all
he?
Of a sudden went back. Maybe he's not the finished article either. But that's why I wouldn't discount North Melbourne. So many people say, well, they can't win the flag. Well, they finished top four last year. They've included a couple of free agents who at the moment are holding up their own in...
Wade and Higgins.
I just think that they're a contender, no doubt for them.
Okay, so maybe North Melbourne's got two swingmen, that is Lockie Hanson and Robbie Tarrant now, because we know he has played forward in the past and obviously did very well on the weekend down back. Thanks for that, Bill. Cookie's in Epping. G'day, Cookie.
G'day, fellas. How are you going?
Good, Cookie.
I've had a couple of swingmen. I'm a Geelong supporter and I think we've got one of the best of the last 10 years. Brownlow medalist, Norm Smith medalist. And we're missing him very badly at the moment in Jimmy Bartel. And we've got one of the best up-and-comers in Brisbane, as you mentioned before. And just quickly on some underrated players, what you're asking for before, Damien Cupido and Jarrah, probably two of the best players the last 20 years, just with unfulfilled potential.
Just wasted his talent, Damien Cupido. I reckon one day, did he kick 4 or 5 goals in maybe an Anzac Day?
He did.
Game?
He won an Anzac medal. I think he might
Did he win the medal?
Yep. I think he kicked 5 and then he went to Adelaide. I believe he had some gambling issues there.
He started in Brisbane, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, played for an SANFL club. So, yeah, no doubt he had huge potential. He just never got there.
I think he's still kicking a lot of goals. Is he playing Essendon District Football League?
I'm not sure. Not sure.
But I know he has kicked a lot of goals in other competitions since he's left the AFL. Cookie, Jimmy Bartel, no doubt, Sometimes he's a half-back flanker.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's been a midfielder. And obviously he's kicked some great goals as well. So, see, the good sides have always had these swing men, haven't they?
They have, and it means you can't be tagged. That's the best thing about it.
But they're match winners.
They are. Yep. A match winner who can't be tagged. You look at Hawthorn at the moment. Well, if Sam Mitchell's been tagged, you throw him at half-back. Probably not half-forward. Luke Hodge, he plays everywhere. It makes it so hard for these players to be matched up on.
Let's go to Michael, joins us from Minion. G'day, Michael.
Yeah, good morning, KB, and how's it going?
Going great. Thanks for joining us.
That's all right, mate. Look, I'm an Richmond supporter, KB, and I really think there's a bloke that's going to be coming in this weekend, Tyrone Vickery. I'll tell you what an opportunity he's got with Ben Griffiths injured. He kicked 4 goals last week in the VFL, and he hasn't played a lot of footy because really Ben Griffiths has been taking his position. But he can help Marich out in the ruck, and I reckon we've got a real hard month of footy coming up. I've just got a feeling Tyrone Vickery is going to stand up and he's going to deliver.
Well, I hope you're right. It is a big game, and it's a good call, Michael, because he's got this opportunity because Ben Griffiths has gone down injured with a calf. Otherwise, maybe he was still going to be on the sidelines. But it's time now for Tyrone to grab this opportunity, particularly with the club, you know, struggling last week and 2-2, and there's a lot of talk about, you know, the future of the club, how well they're going this year, can they play finals? So it is a big challenge for Tyrone Vickery. I think a lot of eyes will be watching Tyrone to see how he responds.
Well, his last half of AFL football wasn't bad. The problem was that before that, he'd punched Dean Cox. Mm. So he got suspended, didn't get back in that side.
So he didn't play for about, what, the last 4 weeks?
Yep.
Didn't play in the final, so that's 5 games. This is, what, round 5 coming up. So he's missed the last 10 senior games.
A lot of talk about leadership at Richmond. He's not an official leader, but, you know, he's a young emerging player who is old enough now to say, OK, I'm going to try and take games by the scruff of my neck. There are a lot of players out there at Richmond who have been disappointing early. Time for them to shine on Saturday afternoon.
Damien Cubio didn't win the Anzac Day.
Oh, there you go.
He kicked 5 goals on Anzac Day in 2003. James Hurd won the Anzac Day medal that day. He also kicked 5 goals, had 27 disposals, and the Bombers won by 66 points.
Another clump.
Shane is in Woodend. G'day, Shane.
Guy who's got the most out of his ability, chaps, Liam Pickens.
Oh, he's a ripper.
Really, he was good on the
hangers. He took a hanger on the weekend.
Shane really struggled at the start, and then you look at him now, and he'd be one of the first picked.
Shane, it's interesting you brought up Liam Pickens, because we spoke about him on the weekend. Most of his career, we've seen him as one of those tagging-type players, being negative, trying to, you know, get on top of a Judd or a Gary Ablett and, you know, sacrifice his game. But this is one thing I liked about Luke Beveridge on the weekend. Here's Liam Pickens playing on the forward line, not tagging people, and playing a bit in the midfield, and playing the game that he probably loved as a kid. He was doing things on the weekend that we didn't know Liam Pickens could do.
Luke Beveridge has
got talent.
Luke Beveridge has got people hoodwinked. He said in the preseason, if we kick 22 goals and the opposition kicks 21, it's great. Let's just play attacking football. And yet, he put Pickens in there as that defensive stopper, really trying to slow the ball movement out. Rabid inside 50 tackles. He's got the full ground press going. And so as much as people think, oh, this is great, just a carefree side. They're really hard at the ball. They play good defence. Yes, they move the ball quickly, but it's some sort of game plan. He's on fire.
But Pickens got the shackles off him a bit. He's out there. He's taking hangers.
Yes.
He's kicking goals. He's leading up. He's winning the ball. He's got positive thoughts. He's been proactive. He's not sort of being reactive because I'm only going to move when Judd moves or Ablett moves or Selwood moves.
But he's also playing on that halfback rebounder. So that's his first job. But after that, oh, he's on fire.
Scotty's in Elwood. G'day, Scotty.
Hi, Johnny. How you going?
Good, Scott. You don't think the Bulldogs have a swing man?
Well, not really. I mean, we've got a lot of new faces, so maybe someone will, you know, we'll see a bit more from someone that can actually do it. But I suppose now that Murphy is kind of cemented down the back, he used to play a little bit forward here and there. We used to have Brian Lake that we used to throw up the front to kick the odd goal and try to create something happening in the forward line every now and then. And now that Cooney's gone, he could roam around. I don't think anyone's really... We don't have anyone in that mould at the moment.
I tell you what, you've got a very young centre-half back in Michael Tarley.
Oh. Took the words out of my mouth.
Who's a very good player. His brother is a very good player, as we know, NAB Rising Star, Daniel. But he's a little bit different than Daniel. Daniel's a little bit more negative. Michael Talia is one of those guys, a bit like a ranch, you know, he'll attack the ball, play it on its merits. And maybe as he gets more experience, he might be that swing man that all of a sudden the Bulldogs need to swing someone forward to take a mark or kick a goal. He might be that swing man going forward.
Isn't it funny too, Brendan McCartney, his name is Mud. In the press box, I talked to a few people, Bulldog supporters. I said, we don't like this old coach. The new one's good. Well, he gave some tough love to Michael Taylor. He said, mate, I don't care if you run and get 20 touches. You have to beat your man. And so he put him back in the VFL. Taylor wasn't happy. He has emerged this year. And so just like you give some real praise to Matthew Knights at Essendon, I think Brendan McCartney, he built the bedrock of this team. The next bloke, he's a better coach. He's taking him forward. But, you know, kudos to Brendan McCartney for what he did for players like Michael Taylor.
Chris Judd has written an article in The Age today, how abuse can become payday for onlookers. And he talks about one issue that arose as a result, of course, obviously talking about Alistair Clarkson and his own particular incident, was the role of the onlookers and the responsibility the media has in assuring these sorts of events don't become financial windfalls for people who are either deliberately antagonising others or who choose to film the moment and then sell the footage rather than call the police. And I think, not written in this article of Chris's, but I think maybe on the telly he was talking about, you know, he wouldn't be surprised. I mean, if someone that could have ended up in the Herald Sun.
Yep.
That incident that, you know, that he was obviously involved in, I think it was in Lygon Street. Didn't Channel 9 run the vision of Clarkson?
Well, he's a wonderful, insightful writer, Chris. The problem is if he wants to write these articles, he needs to take the next step. And that's to march into Channel 9 headquarters, who, of course, pay him extremely well for the footy show and pay his wife to be on postcards and say, the problem is with Channel 9 and with Channel 7. Now, Channel 9, I don't think, chose to run the footage of this Lygon Street incident.
No, but
because they got Chris Judd exclusive words. Mm-hmm. But do you reckon if Juddy wasn't contracted to them, they wouldn't have bought that in an absolute second? And as you say, well, as Jordan Lewis alleged last night, Channel 9, I think, paid $5,000 for the incident of Clarko. So I understand that Chris Judd can write very beautiful words. But if he really wants to make a stand, well, he says to Channel 9, unless you stop this checkbook journalism, unless you stop rewarding these people for these silly incidents, well, I won't ever work for you and my wife won't work for you. So Chris is part of the media now. That's his responsibility. He writes great articles for The Age. He's a Channel 9, I don't know, commentator. So it's his obligation to take it a step further. It's hard because these people who just come into the media and, you know, want to, oh, it's the tabloid media's fault. Well, I don't even think the Herald Sun reported the incident. The Age had it on their back page. Channel 9 are the worst perpetrators of these kind of things. Channel 7 and Channel 9 on A Current Affair or even the footy show. They pay a lot of money for a lot of stories. The Herald Sun almost never pay for any type of story. I'm sure there might be a very odd exception if you want to help someone out with some very small fee. But it's our policy not to pay for stories. Channel 9, oh, they do it every week. So I'd love to see what Chris Judd is going to do next. It's great to take a stand.
You're suggesting you should step away from the footy show?
No, I'm suggesting that he should, in his next article, say, I have challenged, I would hope that he would have challenged Channel 9's executives. Yes, he's only a footballer, but he's one with a great social conscience, and he's one who maybe might make changes. The next time he's on the footy show, hey guys, why did we pay for that Alistair Clarkson footage? Because we're absolutely encouraging people like this Lygon Street peanut.
Which is one of his complaints.
Exactly. I've no doubt if he wasn't contracted to Channel 9, if they couldn't have got a nice interview with him at Icon Park talking about it, they would have bought that Channel 9, that Lygon Street footage in an absolute heartbeat.
Was that shown on Channel 7?
It was shown on Channel 7.
Did they pay for it?
I would assume they did. Yeah, that's what tends to happen. So, look. I'm not saying the Herald Sun's faultless. And at least Gary Lyon, when they were talking about it on Footy Classified, and they said, what a shame that Channel 7 paid for this footage. And Gary said, hey, you know, well, we're part of the problem at times. Whoops, I can't remember what he... Let's not be holier than thou. At least Gazza knows. Footy Show pays. Current Affair pays. 60 Minutes pays. They all pay. I actually don't think that newspapers pay very much.
We'll take a break. 9429 1116. We're coming back with your call. And of course, if you want a garage door, there's only one company to go to. That's Eco Garage Doors. Plus, they've got a special for the month of April and May. And they also will donate $200. That's right, $200 from every insulated garage door sold to your nominated sporting club or charity. Now, we all have a charity close to our hearts or local sporting club. So it's your choice. And Eco will send them $200 on your behalf. So give Eco a call for a free quote on 9703 1500. That's 9703 1500, or visit them online at ecogaragedoors.com.au to see their exclusive garage door profiles and super smooth motors. Now, the buzz has joined us.
We've got a couple of great suggestions, yes, off the SMS too, about those who've maximised their talent. Nick Maxwell, Sam Mitchell,
yes,
Brett Kirk, Simon Prestigiacomo.
Good calls.
Christy was a star forward in his day, wasn't he, before he became a Dow defender? Yeah, rip
good nomination. Damien Cupido just been told coaches Rumbelara in the Shepparton. who are part of the Murray League. They won the premiership last year. Rombolara, I think, this year. Aaron Davey is playing with Rombolara this year.
Fantastic. It's a great community football club with Indigenous boys. And so if Damien can help, I think Damien's South African. But, yeah, if a lot of those guys get a great chance to further their careers at Rumbalara.
Jack is in Carnegie. G'day, Jack.
Hello, Kevin and Baz.
Hello, Jack.
What do I call you?
Yes, Buzz. Whatever you want.
Now, Kevin, I've got the back page of The Sun.
Yes.
WorkSafe grabs evidence in bombers,
yep.
drugs, probe.
Yes, we're getting
files seized. When's it going to finish?
Well, I was going to ask the Buzz about this. This is Michael Warner, and for those who haven't seen it, WorkSafe. Everyone's been talking for a while that WorkSafe at some stage will speak to the Essendon Football Club and
yep.
the players, and the general feeling was that when the whole Asada saga was over, then WorkSafe, most people thought, would have a word to the Essendon Football Club. Now, this story in the back page of the Herald Sun today is suggesting that they're getting documents, and they're also seeking formal interviews with the 34 past and present Essendon players who have been cleared of that doping charge on March the 31st. So that's the next step, and I think most people thought that that would be the next step.
No doubt. And for those out there that might be scared about how this would progress, I think the end result would be heavy fines for both you know, the directors and the staff that were involved at the Essendon Football Club for occupational health and safety breaches that they've basically already confessed in that Switkowski report. So I think the players are safe from that WorkSafe investigation. But, I think it's great that they're holding this club to account for what it's admitted itself have been, you know, issues
well,
in regards to
a pharmacological experimentation was taking place with a supplements program.
So that, I think they've cleared the other clubs in this investigation. Of course, there were complaints that meant they had to investigate all those clubs. I think Essendon and the AFL are the only issues there. So, look, everything's dragged on in this case, so I assume we're a couple of months away from a resolution.
Thanks, Jack. Christopher is in Camberwell. G'day, Chris.
Hey, look, I wanted to ask a question. Although I'm a Melbourne supporter, my question concerns Carlton to you and Ralphie, and I also want to ask about a player at Richmond to you, Kevin. My first question to you, Ralphie, is why don't Carlton give Mick Malthouse one more year and have Chris Judd as their next coach? I would love Chris Judd to coach Melbourne. As you know, I spoke to you a while ago on that, and they've got the coach actually at Carlton, which would allow Silvani to get on with the recruiting and do what Melbourne's doing with Goodwin. What's your view on that? And to you, Kevin, McKenzie's one to watch at Richmond. I can tell you he's playing a very fine role at the moment with Richmond. I wanted him as our third choice in the draft. And Rhys McKenzie looks a real talent.
Well, he's a big kid. He's very big. He's the son of Warren McKenzie, mm-hmm. who played at Carlton.
What about McBean? Don't want him usurping Liam McBean.
Well, McBean's been around there for a number of years. We've heard his name, but he's a bit like Spencer White. I don't know whether he exists. I mean, Spencer White, does he still exist? He's just appeared. He's disappeared this year, hasn't he, Spencer?
He has. Look, he didn't have a great preseason. They desperately needed to.
Was there such a person last year, or did they just make him up?
It might have been a figment of our imagination, but I did seem to remember him kicking goals on the MCG.
But was it Spencer White?
Well, I don't
who
know.
Was it?
I don't know. It might have been, what do you call it, a hologram? I don't know. I would say with Mick and Juddy.
Chris Judd's never, ever shown, I think, any inclination that he wants to be a coach, has he?
And Mick hasn't shown that the succession plan sort of stuff goes swimmingly. Hey, a lot of tributes to Mick Malthouse. What a wonderful interview he gave to the boys on in the morning. I heard Nick Maxwell say something which I thought encapsulated what Mick's all about. He said, more than anyone in the AFL, he's influenced more coaches and more players to get the best out of themselves. I thought, if that in 30 years is on Mick's headstone, he'd be pretty happy with that.
Met with the AFL Commission yesterday with Nanette, and I thought it was fantastic. Beautiful presentation, a couple of tickets around the world for Mick and Nanette on behalf of the Commission, which is very generous and very nice, and I'm certain much appreciated and fully deserved. The only thing that just disturbed me was, for lunch, sandwiches. Stand-up sandwiches. A plate of sandwiches.
What should have been on the menu?
You don't get the longest-serving coach and give him a couple of tickets to fly around the world and then give him a tomato sandwich. Surely you can sit down at the boardroom and have a nice entree and a beautiful main
seven-course degustation, do you
believe?
Nice
glass of red wine or nice cup of tea.
I've told you before.
Sandwiches.
I've told you before, the AFL Commission, they make funny decisions.
Sandwiches.
Maybe they were sort of smoked salmon and pulled pork and 10-hour roasted beef and all those things.
715 games. Come down to the AFL. Have a bit of a chat to us. Here's a couple of tickets. By the way, let's have lunch. Bring out the sandwiches.
You're still upset about the laws of the game and you used to steal those mints and they held you to account. And you're still dragging on about that, aren't you?
Tarkin is in Coburg. G'day, Tarkin.
G'day, boys. How's it going?
Going great. Guys, not Tarkin Lockyer, is it?
No, mate. I'm a little bit older than he is.
Okay.
Guys, surely one of the greatest overachievers in AFL history. He was short, couldn't run and could barely kick 30 metres, and it'd have to be Greg Williams, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but he just had that amazing...
He could play that.
Exactly. He had talent. He had a trick. All you need in the AFL is to have one trick. And that's what Mick Mulder... I mean, it's amazing how many things come back to Mick Mulder. He says, if you got an X factor, just work on that X factor. Mm. And yeah, work on your weaknesses too, but maximise that X factor. And Greg had an X factor. Liberatore.
Would he get a game today with the recruiters? They'd say, oh, he couldn't do the 80-metre shuttle runs up and down the ground. His legs, the transition play. He'd get left behind in the transition play.
Yeah, but you know what? He wouldn't get drafted, but he'd go away to North Ballarat or to wherever it might be, like Isaac Smith. You might be at Redan, and you dominate there, and you get a chance eventually.
He was quick.
He was, but he's got a trick. You know, I think at least the one thing that AFL recruiters do now that they didn't a decade ago is look at the state leagues. I still think he'd find a way to get through. Look, Liberatore, he was another star himself. He just had one trick. He had desire. Imagine the Bulldogs
but
when Tom Liberatore comes
That's
back.
In the old game.
Yes.
We're talking about in the modern game. That's what Tarkin is talking about.
But my point is that he might not get drafted at pick 22, but he might just have to work for 2 years and he might go away. I don't like Anthony Miles. Yes, he was drafted, but I still think of that talent finds a way to get to the top in this game.
A break, 94291116. We're coming back with the buzz, taking your calls. Come out, Ian Robson's going to join us from Victory, of course, the CEO, Rowan Dummett, always fixes your golf swing in the studio, and Brian Waldron always talks the business of sport.
On Hungry for Sports, which magical moment caught your attention over the weekend? Find out if it made Ralphie's buzzer beater.
Yes, the buzzer beater who's done something great in the last week. And of course, Ralphie last week said that Andrew Bogut will be the next Aussie to add to the list of NBA world champions. He is on his way with Golden State Warriors through to the next round of the NBA playoffs after a clean sweep. Their first series 4-0. They'll take on the winners of Portland versus Memphis, and Memphis is currently leading the series 3-1. So that was your crystal ball buzzer beater.
And I'm on track as well. Now, Cleveland winning, but Kevin Love's got a shoulder injury, so they're just a little bit hampered. So I think I'm on track there. My buzzer beater of the week, well, it's Collingwood. Anzac Day, amazing win. But more specifically, Nathan Buckley. After the buzzer sounded, he dragged all his boys into the rooms, and after they'd sung the song, and he just had a really deep emotional message to those blokes. And I was there, I watched the moment, and I thought, for the first time, this is Nathan Buckley's team. It's taken him 46 games, and I know that he has said to people, it's been my team from the time that I inherited it, from that first game. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. And I've written today about you know that significant moment for this footy club. You looked at
it's a good photo. Wayne Love be a fantastic photo.
Yeah, ripper photo. You look at Jamie Elliott and you look at Travis Varko front and centre, and these blokes are invested. The analogy I made was, well, we've talked about the 4 years from the premiership and how the hell did all these things happen. But maybe like Chris Scott talking about the premierships that he wants to move on from. I mean, we've talked about it till we're blue in the face. We still don't understand how one of the youngest teams in history became the team they are now. But they're Nathan's team and they got to move on. And look, at the moment, they're making a pretty decent fist of it.
Okay. Have you got a crystal ball as you did last week?
I have.
With Andrew Bogut?
Well, having said that Collingwood are going well, I look at Mick's week and I look at Mick Mulder's milestone. And I reckon at some stage there on Friday night, they'll be 3 goals up on Collingwood. I know Grant Thomas is someone that says, look, if you lift for a special occasion or a milestone, it means you're not trying in the other games. He should be right in principle, but it's not what happens in execution. Sides are emotionally invested into their coach or a milestone, they lift. And so I think Carlton will come out breathing fire. I don't know if I'm going to pick him. I don't know whether Collingwood won't run over the top of him. But I reckon Carlton will lift for Mick. Because as all of Mick's players have, they love their coach. And I think they'll get a response at least for the short term.
Okay, the buzzer beater with the buzz. Some of the SMSs saying, KB, you should send Mick a few vouchers to Vito's Stone Bar and Grill or Dimatina's to make up for the sandwiches he got yesterday. Now, what do you think, I'll ask the fans, what do you think the AFL should have served up yesterday for Mick at this commission luncheon yesterday instead of stand-up sandwiches.
Well, a bit of quinoa salad with some crumbled hazelnuts and feta, and then a filet mignon, and then a nice, that's a throwback. You know, he's been good in the 80s. So a nice little lemon meringue, a little tart.
A little tart.
With a little bit of a coolie, what do you call it? Raspberry coolie. I reckon that would have started. And then coffee and aperitifs. Maybe a little brandy, a little snifter. How's that for a
Well,
menu?
Give us what they should have served up, Mick, yesterday at AFL House instead of standing up and a plate of sandwiches going around. My understanding, they were tomato sandwiches and cheese sandwiches.
You got a sauce in there, do you?
Got a sauce in there. Mm-hmm. Off the Twitter, Hungry for Sport says, in response to the AFL Commission serving sandwiches, Dan says it has to be something like lobster stuffed with oysters. I mean, they should have had Dan there looking after the menu for
Dan
Mick.
Who?
Dan,
oh,
this, off the Twitter.
Okay.
On Twitter.
We could have had Heath Hocking in.
Lobsters stuffed with oysters.
Sandwiches.
No, sandwiches.
Mm.
And my understanding was stale bread as well. Andy's on the road. G'day, Andy.
Hello, gentlemen.
Good, Andy.
Hello, Andy.
You want to talk about a player that maybe was a wasted talent?
No.
One got the best out of himself?
Yeah, every ounce of energy and passion out of himself. First, I think I'll just touch on Mick and what he'd like to be served up.
Oh, yes.
Mark Stevens on a spit.
Oh,
magnificent. Well, at least Mark could have been a waiter.
Yes.
He could have. They could have set it up. Beautiful entree, beautiful main meal. As I say, maybe a glass of wine for those who wanted a glass of wine or a beautiful cup of tea. And then dressed up in a beautiful waiter's outfit.
Yes.
Mark Stevens comes out. And just puts Mick's plate down on in front of him.
Well, revenge is a dish best served cold.
Do they? Can they think outside the square at the AFL?
Yeah, it's very ordinary. I mean, this is an organisation that turns over $300 million. They got money coming out of the wazoo, and they give him stale sandwiches, tomato
Andy,
sandwiches.
Who's the player? Andy,
Mick, Robbie Copeland.
Robbie Copeland.
100-150 games. He took Nathan Buckley out of the 2003 grand final and won a premiership. And I think from memory, he still might be playing in the NEAFL at about 37 or 38. So he's still going.
140-odd games. Yeah, he won a flag. You're right, Robbie Copeland. He even went forward late in his career and just kicked a few goals. And he didn't have a lot of tricks, but he was tough on it. He's rugged. They bred him tough up there.
But I'd forgotten, Andy just reminded me, that he played in that premiership side too, of the Brisbane Lions.
Yep. We're getting some suggestions off the SMS, Kevin. Sour grapes for Mick. Hot pies. Lamingtons.
Some hot dogs.
Who is your sauce in
Meat
there?
Meat pies.
You've got a deep throat in there, have you?
Pizza.
Mm. It's not Jeff
Blue
Gano,
grenadier
Jeff
fish. Cold shoulder and hot tongue. coming through. The AFL, they had no idea yesterday how to handle that, did they? Apart from giving the tickets to fly overseas, which is fantastic.
Where would Mick go,
outside
by the
of
way?
That, how much thought did they put into that luncheon?
About 10 seconds worth. I've been in there. I've been in the boardroom, and they're lovely sandwiches. But it's the first time he's been in there 31 years.
I went there for, I think, Rowan Soares, Hayden Kennedy, when they umpired 400 games.
Yes.
They put on a magnificent, they invited myself and Michael Tuck to come along, and they put on a magnificent luncheon in the boardroom. You know, the entrees and the main meal. It was absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
For Mick, sandwiches. Snapshot from the message bank. Jake King got the best out of himself. Robert Eddy from St Kilda got the best out of himself.
And where's your sense of humour? This bloke, Glenn, Kevin, hot dogs, meat pies, Eagle Boys pizza, blue grenadier fish. I thought you might have got the joke, Kevin. Where's your sense of humour?
Okay. Also, fairy bread was served. Not sandwiches, it was actually fairy bread, we are told, served to Mick Mulhouse.
I'll devote my day to finding out why the AFL Commission served cold, stale cheese and
bread,
tomato sandwiches.
Okay. Brady Rawlings got the most out of himself. Two B&Fs, and Copeland played in two premierships for the Brisbane Lions.
There you go.
Catch you tomorrow.
See ya.